Welcome to the Pastor and Intern Podcast with Pastor Eric Dyer and Intern Will Emery. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Marvel and Christianity. How the two pair together, what they look like.
Sure.
What even is Marvel?
Who knows?
Because I'm sure we need to answer that question.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big fan. Right.
Yeah. So, but before we get there, I want to throw a curveball at Eric that he has no idea about.
I love these. I'm really good at these.
Yeah. So we'll call these like our culture aspect sections or something or other.
Yeah.
We'll be, Eric's the creative one of the bunch. So what I want to talk about first, before we get to Marvel, we can move through this quickly to get to the main thing, but so there's been two kind of head, one pastor and then another person who writes for Hillsong Worship,
yeah,
who both have said that they're falling away from the faith, right? So you have Josh Harris, who wrote the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye.
Right, heard about him.
That book.
Yeah.
He says that he is falling away from the faith, and specifically, he says, let me find it here. The information that was left out of our announcement is that I've undergone a massive shift. So that announcement he's talking about, he's getting divorced from his wife, which he announced before he
announced
this.
Right, need that.
So the information that was left out of our announcement is that I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there's a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I am not there now. So he uses the term deconstructing. So that's Josh Harris, right? There's another guy called Marty Simpson. He wrote some of the songs for Hillsong Worship. He says, I don't think he's written one in a long time, but he was still a part of that.
Sure.
He says, he posted this on his social media, time for some real talk. I'm genuinely losing my faith. It doesn't bother me. Like, what bothers me now is nothing. I am so happy now, so at peace with the world. It's crazy. This is a soapbox moment, so here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all, quote, because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people, but it's not for me. So these two guys were pretty big deals, right? They were, I guess, I don't really know much about either one of these guys. I think Josh Harris was kind of before me.
He was even a little before me. I mean, this is like late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay,
so
I have no idea.
When I was 9 or 10, really wasn't thinking about
Right.
Whatever.
So we were, and Marty Simpson with Hillsong, we obviously all know who Hillsong is.
Yeah.
Writes some pretty good songs. So I was asked this question last Wednesday, and I kind of just want to ask it to you because I think it's an interesting question to bring up on the podcast. So Josh Harris is deconstructing his faith. Marty Sampson is falling away from faith.
Yeah.
Is this even possible? Is it possible for me to, number one, deconstruct my faith or just fall away?
Wow.
How long is
this podcast again? Is it going to be seven hours long?
It can be. We got a lot to get through today.
Yeah. So here we go. I think, I'm going to answer your question, and then if you want to ask me questions based on my answer,
go ahead.
If you don't, we can just let it die.
That's fine.
In the wilderness. Okay. So if your faith can be deconstructed, that's not much faith.
Right.
Let me just be plainly honest. If you can deconstruct your faith, then your faith was yours and not somebody else's, right? Like our pastor this past weekend said, you know, when you're saved, you don't hold your own salvation in your own hands. God holds your salvation in his hands, right? Like, no one can snatch you from his hand, that type of thing. So if you can deconstruct your faith wasn't very real to begin with. And I know that sounds harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could deconstruct my faith that Jesus has given me, then Jesus doesn't seem very strong now, does he?
Right.
So I think there's that. The falling away part is iffy there. It's a weird phrase, because it is used. It's a biblical phrase. I mean, there are passages that say, and in the end times, people will fall away.
Yep. Titus, Hebrews 4.
Yeah, sure. So I think that those people are the ones, you know, Jesus does the parable of the seeds, right? And there's seeds that fall and the raven comes and quickly gets them. There's the seeds that fall in the rocks. There's the seeds that are in the bristles and the thorns. And then there's the seeds that grow. And I really think that if you fall away from your faith, you're one of these people that are characterized as, you know, maybe you thought you had it. Maybe you convinced yourself that you had it. Maybe, and you may have heard it and liked it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have changing, life-altering faith. Because there's a difference between falling into sin and for a season and then coming back. Because A, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. B, you now have something greater than your conscience to convict you of your sin. And C, you're not your own anymore. You're God's now. You're not your, you're not owned by yourself like you are God's. So anyway, I think you can have a season where you can be in a rough patch, but if your faith in general is the rough patch, you might want to consider to yourself, okay, am I falling away? And I think deconstruction is interesting. I don't know that I've quite heard it like that before. I didn't read the whole article, but I've read something to the effect of dealing with this first guy, the Kiss Dating Goodbye guy.
Yeah, Josh Harris.
And I don't know. I just, but I will say that I was happy, and I know this is going to sound weird, happy to hear that he says the statement that I know what a Christian is and I'm not that. That's encouraging. Because most people want to hang on to it and just be like, I don't believe anything that's in the Bible, but I'm a Christian, you know? Which, again, we can debate if that's even true or not. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm more okay with you saying I'm not a Christian because I've read the Bible and I know what that means versus the other guy who talks about quote-unquote contradictions, which I'd like to know what that is, quote-unquote people talking about God's judgment. If you're not hearing about God's judgment, it's because you're not placing yourself in places where you can hear it. Because let me tell you, there's plenty of people talking about it.
Yeah.
And you know, Christians are all these judgmental people, blah, 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 blah. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard every single one of those that have been thrown in your face before for being a Christian, like, you shouldn't be shocked by hearing any of that. Because that's, I don't really care for that as much as I care for the first guy. Because at least the first guy read the book and said, I know what a Christian is and I'm not that. This next guy is letting people who have a really large microphone in society yell and scream at him, and he goes, yeah, you're probably right, and just gets rid of all his faith. You know, because Scripture tells us our faith is like building our house on a solid foundation, not made of sand. And it very much feels like at least the second guy was on sand the whole time.
Yeah, and faith that saves will endure to the end.
Yeah, right? It will endure to the end. And again, it's not as though they're saying this is just a season of my life. These are people making major life-altering announcements to people.
Right.
So, again, it's hard for me to, and people say I'm mean, but I really think that it's the truth.
Yeah,
and we get enough of this softball Christianity anyway. Yeah. You know,
I would agree with you because I think if I can deconstruct my faith, I probably would, because I think that would be the sin and things that would come out of me, that if I had the possibility of breaking my own faith down, then, you know, and you made the great point that it's this idea that, you know, I couldn't earn my salvation, you know, therefore if I have some ability to lose it, I'm going to, right? Because
right.
I couldn't earn it.
Yeah. If you couldn't do anything to earn it,
then you
can't possibly do anything to get rid of it.
Right. Yeah. So if you in your mind think you can, then you probably didn't have it in the first place.
Right. And that's hard to hear.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, and so one of those passages that we could talk about for a second, and I'm curious about your stance on it, is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the main passage that people would look to and say, well, in the Bible it says that if I'm a Christian, I can fall away.
Yeah.
Right. So let's read this and then get your kind of, I know
it's
kind
of funny,
much study about
it. By the way.
Right.
That someone would defend that, but it's whatever.
You know. So verse 4, for it is impossible to renew to repentance, that can be talked about in its own self, to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, who shared in the Holy Spirit, who tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age, and here it is, and who have fallen away.
Yep.
This is because to their own harm they are re-crucifying the Son of God, holding him up to contempt. So it's this idea that they were once enlightened, they tasted the heavenly gift, they shared in the Holy Spirit, they tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age, and they've fallen away.
Yep.
How in the world does that work?
Well, I think first, and you know what I'm going to do right now. The first, I think you've got to understand that, and I'm going through my Bible dictionary in my head right now.
Yeah.
That word enlighten is interesting. I would really like to see what that word means. Like, what does the original language have to say that enlighten means? Not enlighten. That I necessarily think that you need it, but I think that it would be interesting because I don't know that enlighten, quote unquote, is used very often. So I really want to do a study on that, but it's whatever. But again, like we do on every podcast, I think we've got to understand, okay, well, in Hebrews chapter 4, what happens before verse 4? What happens after verse 8? Because, and this is just me spitballing here, but, you know, if you read that text, nothing about that text tells me that any person that's being discussed in that text has received anything. It's almost as though they've experienced something and they've tasted something, but that doesn't mean that they've been given anything.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So to me, it's not even as if they're talking about the church. They're talking about some other people that are doing some other thing.
Yeah. Well, and so I think it's important to note, first off, that, and the only reason I know this is because of what we talked about last week, but so the first thing to understand in this passage is that, number one, he's not talking to an individual.
Yes.
He's not talking to one person. He's talking probably to a congregation. He's talking to a group of people. And I think it's exactly what you said. It's these people are, it's all about their experience. These are things that they did at one time, right? So if you wanted to translate this to kind of what we would say, these are the people who walked the aisle. These are the people who prayed the prayer.
Yeah.
And in that time, they would say that what they did was real. They were maybe enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift. They shared in the Holy Spirit. Maybe they were baptized. Maybe they even went on a mission trip. Maybe they did all these things. But notice how every verb here is in the past tense, right? Or everything that happened, they were enlightened, so they did it at one time. They tasted.
There's no permanence.
They shared, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I think that we can agree here that this passage is probably talking about people who may have been able to they didn't have it, they didn't possess it, but they just kind of experienced it, like you said.
Well, and even at the end of that text, you said something to the effect of Jesus being crucified or being...
Yeah, so this is because to their own harm, they are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding him up to contempt.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the people that get saved every weekend, you know. It's like Jesus needs to die for you over and over again for you to realize that he's saved you from your sins.
Right.
When in reality, he's not done so. Because if you do that, what you're saying is that God's final judgment on Jesus on the cross in that one moment is not enough.
It's not enough, yeah.
And that is a demeaning of God's ultimate sacrifice for us.
Right.
And so if that's you, if you've been saved 17 times, you know, and hoping one of them sticks, like you're probably not getting it. Like you're probably not saved. And again, it's so easy for us to open the book and pull a sentence out and go, this is what this means. And it's like, well, okay. Like, number one, you've got to read it as it is, where it is. And then you've got to see, okay, what do you think that means?
Yeah.
And a lot of the times people read that whole chapter and go, I have no idea what this means.
Right.
And then when you do that, you go to some people who you trust and say, what does this mean? And then you look up some people who talked about this idea, I don't know, 1,000 years ago. And you go look and see what they said, you know. So, again, it's so easy for us to do that. And, like, the Bible is the only book we really even do that with. Like, if you were to pick up any other book from the shelf and open to a random page and pull out a sentence, you'd be like, I know what the book means. It's like, no, you don't. You just pulled a sentence out and probably made no sense.
That's a good point. I've never heard that before.
And I think, but we do it with the Bible because it's easy to do.
Yeah.
Right? We've separated the Bible into chapters, and then we've separated each verse into a number. And it teases you. And it's like, oh, pull this verse out of context. Why don't you do that? And it's like, no, that's not what you should do. Because in the original text, they don't have numbers. They don't have page numbers. They don't have verse numbers. They don't have chapter numbers. They don't have any of that. You know, they don't have the words written in red. Sorry for people who fit that offends. But the verses weren't in red. But I mean, it's just, and we love to do it. And I don't know why, but we just love to. Maybe it makes us feel smart. I don't really know.
No, nice. So, if I was a big fan of Josh Harris, or I was a big fan of Marty Sampson, or I was a big fan of whoever that at one time said that I'm deconstructing my faith or I'm falling away from faith, what do I do now? I mean, if I followed them, I really like what they say. I read their books. I mean, it seemed really good.
Yeah.
But now they're telling me that they're not even Christians anymore. I mean, what in the world should I do now?
I think the first thing you should realize is that nobody is Jesus. Like, no one should be that for you. No one should be so important to you that you're just lost now because you've read Kiss Standing Goodbye 7 times, and you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not trying to mock it.
Right.
But I think the second thing you got to realize is no matter who you're reading about in whatever context, you're reading about something a sinner wrote. And I think you need to realize that with everything that you read. Like, every single person you've read a book from has sinned. So, you know, shout out to J.D. Greer, you know, love the guy. We both love him. People that listen to this podcast love him. But he's a sinner. And he's done some stupid stuff, yeah. I'm sure. And I'm sure if, you know, it came out in a news article that J.D. Greer stole a pack of gum in the third grade, we'd be like, you know,
right.
I'm doubting everything that I, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think you can have, but I don't want to say that people that aren't saved don't have any sort of wisdom that they can bestow. Because obviously God has used sinners throughout history to speak and have something to say. So regardless of if they're saved or not, God can use people's words and mold what people say to further what he's doing. So if you really like the book, just because he's totally, quote unquote, deconstructed the faith, doesn't mean that it's still not a good book.
No.
Now, would it be my first option? Probably not. Like there's plenty of good books out there by fairly orthodox people about dating specifically. But I wouldn't be against doing that. That's like saying the Hillsong guy, like, let's just get rid of all his songs.
All the Hillsong songs.
It's like, well, okay, but like, who even knew that he wrote those songs? Like, no offense to the guy,
nobody,
but it's not like he's Elvis Presley.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like, who even knew that? And so, and if you did, I'm so sorry. But, you know, I just don't, that doesn't make much sense to me. If we didn't listen to anybody's songs or read anybody's books who were sinners, then we wouldn't read or listen to anything. We wouldn't even write anything down for fear of what we might say, you know.
Right.
So I think it's still okay.
I like what you said at the beginning. So, right. So, and I think our pastor said this a couple of weeks ago as he announced he was leaving. And he said that, you know, you don't join a church for the pastor, but you join a church for the church.
Right.
And I think it's the same idea that when I'm reading, and it's something that you should probably step back and look at. Am I reading a book, or am I listening to this podcast because I like the person who's doing it, or am I reading it or listening because I actually want to learn more? Right. And I think we talked about that before on the podcast. And again, and that's like you just said in the very beginning of your statement, is that you're not following the person who wrote that book. I'm not, as much as we reference John Piper, we're not following Piper.
We're not his followers.
Yeah. Right. And if he, for whatever reason, this would never happen, but if he decided tomorrow to send out a statement that he was falling away from the faith, it would bother us, I think, but it's not going to destroy what I believe in because I don't follow in John Piper. He's not the one I'm looking to.
Right.
Right. I'm looking to Jesus. This is what John Cooper, who is the lead singer for the band Skillet, if you're into hard rock.
Oh, gosh, what are you about to read?
This is what he said about this idea.
Right.
And it's a very long
So
article.
Why did they ask the lead singer reading. Skillet about this?
I don't think they did. I think he just kind of
I was about to say, why are they asking people about this?
He said this. He said, my conclusion for the church, all of us Christians, We must stop's capitalized, making worship leaders and thought leaders or influencers or cool people or, quote, relevant, end quote, people, the most influential people in Christendom. And yes, that includes people like me. I've been saying for 20 years and seemed probably quite judgmental to some of my peers that we are in a dangerous place when the church is looking to 20-year-old worship singers as our source of truth. We now have a church culture that learns who God is from singing modern praise songs rather than from the teachings of the Word. I'm not being rude to my worship leader friends, many who would agree with me, and saying that singers and musicians are good at communicating emotion and feeling. We create a moment and a vehicle for God to speak. However, singers are not always the best people to write solid biblical Bible truth and doctrine. Sometimes we are too young, too ignorant of Scripture, too unaware, or too unconcerned about the purity of Scripture and the holiness of the God we are singing to. Have you ever concerned the disrespect of singing songs to God that are untrue of his character? And he has, this article continues and continues on.
I think my favorite thing that he just said was that we've got to listen to songs that have biblical truth in them.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm telling you, people like vilify me for hating on certain songs or whatever, but they're just not biblical songs. Like, no. Where are we getting this stuff from? I know it sounds good. Like, and we've talked about the lyrics thing. And people who know me know exactly what I'm talking about. But,
right.
We've got to make sure that our lyrics are right. We can't just sing the popular song. And people go, well, I know my theology. I have good theology. I'm fine. And it's like, well, but if you sing a song a million times, are you saying that that's not going to have some sort of impact on your theology? On what you believe about God? So I think he's pretty spot on with that.
Yeah. Well, I really liked what he said about how we need to stop looking at 20-year-olds as our source of truth.
Did you feel personally offended? Source of,
no, because we were talking about this on Sunday night, but I'm not offended because I am the first person to tell you that I am a 20-year-old young guy who knows absolutely nothing. I know what people have taught me. And it reminds me of our reading either today or yesterday in Titus. And how I think it was today, and I think it may be Titus chapter 2, where he talks about older men and older women and how they're supposed to teach the younger men and the younger women. And I think it's the same idea that you should never put and you also should never only get your truth from what someone else is telling you. You should go to the Bible yourself and read it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I'm reading Preaching by Tim Keller, and Tim Keller said, whoever you listen to the most is who you're going to sound like the most.
Yeah.
He goes, you're just human. That's what's going to happen. He said, so that means you need to diversify on who you listen to. You know, like I listen to J.D. Greer, Matt Chandler, John Piper all the time. But the other day I started listening to Tony Evans, like more consistently, and he is vastly different than either one of those other guys, you know. And he's good. He's so good. And I think that the church needs to do a better job of diversifying what we think and what we talk about and all that, John.
I agree.
So
you can't probably fall away from faith that saves, right? So if you have true saving faith, you're not falling away, you're not deconstructing.
There are seasons.
Your faith. Yeah, you may fall back into a season, but you're not.
What did the Baptists say, backsliding? That's a term we've come up with.
Yes, backsliding.
That's okay.
That's a,
okay. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, but before we, so that's that section, right? Before we jump into Marvel, can you just remind our listeners about the CSB translation?
Yeah.
We are sponsored by them.
Yeah, it's been
a while.
So
we took kind of a hiatus through the summer, but tell us how much you love the CSB.
Oh my goodness. Do we have enough time for this?
I don't know.
I love the Christian Standard Bible. It is a great translation that is as close to the original language as also it is the most simple to read. So it's a dynamic translation where it's staying as close as to the original language and being easy to read. So it has the readability of an NIV, but it has the accuracy of an NASB. And so you mash those two things together, and it makes a beautiful baby called the Christian Standard Bible. I was a huge fan of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. They just dropped the H off. They edited some of the wordage down. It got really wordy in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And so they edited it down a little bit, and now it's the Christian Standard. And it's just the best translation. I'm going to
really
say
spot.
It.
I'm really impressed. It's really good.
It's pretty good.
On the spot.
You've been putting me on the spot every week.
You know. to, were you there in 2008, the first Iron Man? Were you were in the theaters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to experience first Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't. I experienced the very last
one
that just, recently came out. That's very true. So you're a seasoned veteran. You've watched them all.
Yep.
I've watched them all as well.
You watched them in like a day.
But I watched them in like
Which I wouldn't advise, but you
did. So I went to the theaters and watched Marvel Endgame.
Yeah.
And great movie. And I thought, you know what? I need to watch the rest of these movies.
Yeah.
And
you
so
did.
I did.
Makes the movie
over,
mean more.
Over 3 weeks. Yeah. So right. And then we went and watched Spider-Man at midnight, and I've got the whole experience.
Yeah. That's the only Marvel movie you've seen before me, I'm pretty sure.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
But I'm like 20-something movies ahead of you, so.
So, yeah. So explain to those, and I'm sure I would be amazed if there's anybody out there who actually doesn't know what Marvel is, but for those who maybe don't know what Marvel is, just kind of give us a quick rundown real quick. What's the MCU?
Marvel basically is a comic book production company that makes comic books based upon superheroes, mostly done by Stan Lee and some other guys.
Yeah.
And so they wrote all these books, so that's Iron Man, that's right, respect. Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Hulk, Captain America, Thor, all the big ones. And I'm leaving a ton of them out, obviously, because there's a bunch of movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
But they wrote all these comic books years and years and years ago, and they kept, you know, reissuing them over and over again. And eventually we got to a point in our society where movies were not only, like, stuff with actors in them, but a lot of computer technology is being added to movies. And so, you know, we had the Batmans that came out in the 90s that no one wants to talk about. You know, we've had a couple of Fantastic Four movies, which no one really wants to talk about. And we had a couple of Spider-Man movies that were fine, and then a couple more that were okay. And then you just felt like, you know, there were a bunch of these just one-off movies. Like, they're okay, they're fine, it's all right. And I remember as a kid, probably 12 or 13, I went to a comic book shop when they still existed. I'm sure there are some, but there can't be that many anymore. And I remember going and seeing an Iron Man comic. And this is no joke. And I looked at it, and I thought, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I'd never been in a comic book shop before. Like, the only time I'd ever seen comic books was in, like, a grocery store. And so, I got the first five. I don't know what they're worth now.
Probably.
But I remember reading them over and over and over and over and over again. I thought they were so cool. You know, they said boom, boom, and pow, and these big bubbles on the pages. Anyway, so then in 2008, I'm 18, and this trailer for Iron Man comes out. And literally the first trailer that they ever put out for it, I'm pretty sure this is accurate, is it's just a picture of the sky, and he just flies by, and it goes summer of 2008, and I'm like,
I'm watching this.
Let's
thing.
Go.
Yeah.
So I think me and my dad went. I'm pretty sure my dad falls asleep in most movies, but that movie and The Dark Knight came out similarly in the same type area or whatever. And I remember watching it, and this is Robert Downey Jr. I have no idea who Robert Downey Jr. even is, but apparently he had a pretty rough life. And anyway, so they cast him as Iron Man, and I'd never seen anything like it before. The computer technology, the character development, the attention to detail, the funny, quirky humor, and then at the end of the movie, he said, "Well, spoiler alert! If you haven't seen it,
wow!
Like, get over yourself. Like, it's been over 10 years.
It's been,
but
yeah, it's been a
he
while.
Says, I am Iron Man, confesses to be the superhero at the end, and it just ends, and you're like, what am I watching right now? And then the craziest thing is, we watched it to the end of the credits, and there's a after credit scene, like all the scenes are over, then you see a bunch of words for a while, and then you see the last scene of the movie, and Samuel Jackson's on the screen, and you just want to scream, right? Because that's awesome. And he's Nick Fury. Like, what? And then the movie ends. And you're just like, this can't be over. Like, I've got to get more of this and more of this and more of this. And then, you know, we had a Hulk movie that came out that was, it was okay. We can't seem to get Hulk right. For his own movie, anyway. And then Captain America came out.
So did you know from that first Iron Man movie that this was going to be something big? Like, were you thinking that, hey, 10 years from now, this would be they're making billions of dollars in movie production?
No, I did not. But I thought, but that began the thought process. What if this is more than just this one movie? What if they're setting up the rest of it? Because there's no way that they could have watched it and went, okay, 11 years down the road, we're going to do Avengers, and we're going to split the last movie into two parts, and it's going to be like six or seven hours of complete action-packed awesomeness. Like, no. But I remember watching it going, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. As a kid, as being 18 years old. But that's pretty much what it is. And it's grown so much so today. Now Disney owns it and all that stuff.
Yep.
And they've made billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they deserve it because they've worked really hard.
Yeah, they do.
You know.
Well, Kevin, what's his name? Kevin Feige, something
yeah,
like
I
that.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it. I don't want to butcher it like you, so I'm not going to try.
I did. So he does a phenomenal job at it. But yeah, I would agree. So it's this, it's really, for, you watch these things, and for me, I watched them, as I said, you know, quickly. And I knew watching the first Iron Man, because I watched it after Endgame, that, okay, this story is about to progress. And so many, and I think the really awesome thing about it is they all go together.
Yeah.
Right, in
it's
some
like a
way,
big puzzle,
and that was, I think that's what makes you want to watch the. So, for example, when we watched this past Spider-Man, I didn't go at midnight. I went for the experience, but I didn't go to watch Spider-Man per se.
Right,
I went to go to watch to see, hey, what's the culture like after Endgame, or what's some other things that Marvel's going to introduce? Right, that's what I feel like. That just kind of makes the movies,
yeah,
even better than they are. I mean, it was a fantastic movie, but it just
like how do you get
a little
bit. How do you make a story that lasts several movies long?
Right.
Right? Never been done before. Right. DC keeps trying to do it, and they keep failing because they want to do it, because they want to do a microwave approach where it's like, all right, we're going to stick this thing in the microwave, and it's going to be ready. But we all know if you cook something in the oven, it's going to be better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Marvel's approach.
Yeah, it's very
true. We're going to take it. We're going to take
really
it slower.
Clever. You should, like, copyright that or something.
Stop
that
it.
Was
Stop it. That's just who I am.
That was
whatever.
That was good right there. So... But that's Marvel. We have all these. There's like 23 movies.
Yeah.
24 now.
Yeah.
They all go together. The recent one was Spider-Man. So let's talk about Infinity War and Endgame. Right. So these are arguably the biggest movies in Marvel's.
Oh, of course, they're definitely the biggest movies.
10 years. Right.
Yeah.
So we have this Infinity Stone saga. By the way, if you have not if you have not watched either one of these movies, they're both out. You should have seen Endgame by now. If you don't know what happens in Endgame,
it's on the listener at this point.
They're both on DVD. You need to pause and go watch and come back, or skip forward a couple minutes.
But if you don't care, you can stay
with
this.
You don't care, then just keep listening. So we have this Infinity Stone saga in Endgame. So do you remember the first movie that the Infinity Stones were introduced?
Yes.
When was it? Was it the first
Captain America?
Is the first Captain America?
Yeah, because the Nazi powers have the Tesseract, and that's what the what stone is that? It's not the Power Stone. It's the
whatever the blue one is.
Yeah, whatever the blue one is. Yeah, it makes you be able to travel really.
Yeah,
far distances. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. So that it gets introduced in Captain America. Now, when does Thanos get introduced? Do you remember?
Thanos gets introduced at the very end of the first Avengers movie. He's in the cutscenes.
Yeah. So
you're in his throne. Like where his throne is a lot of the time, but you never see him. He's only referenced, and then you see him.
And then
the
you finally
end.
See him. I feel like you sort of know that, hey, this guy is going to be bad news for the Avengers.
Oh, yeah, and especially if you've like read the comic books or anything, or even done a Wikipedia
search.
True,
yeah.
Like you would
know. And see, that's another thing. So Marvel, all these 23 movies, but I think you've had four of the 23 movies that are Avenger movies, right? So these are where Iron Man, Captain America, Thor.
They all come together.
They all come together for one movie,
yeah.
And they're all fighting. So in the first first Avengers movie, they're fighting
Loki.
Loki, right? Yeah. And that's the famous New York scene where you see them all land and the camera goes around.
God, that's a great scene.
That's
a great movie.
And then you get the next Avengers movie,
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron, they're fighting the robot that James Spader, right? They're fighting him.
Yeah, it's the typical, what if AI took over the world?
Yeah, that was probably the not the best Avengers movie. It was a good Avengers movie, but compared to the other
three. If we hadn't watched the first one and we watched that one, it would have been the greatest thing we'd ever seen.
Right. So then you have that one, and now you have Infinity War / Endgame. So they have to do something with these Infinity Stones, right?
Yeah.
This storyline's been building over so many movies.
Yep.
We have these stones. Mm-hmm. Somebody bad, Thanos, is going to get them, which you don't realize that until Infinity War, and then something else is going to happen, right?
Yep.
So in Infinity War, he gets them. He goes and collects all the stones.
Yep.
Vision's dead.
He snaps his finger, snaps kills fingers, half of everybody.
Half everyone. And then the movie ends.
Yeah. End game. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're thinking, holy cow, this guy just killed off half of the...
Yeah.
Everybody's gone. Where is Iron Man? Is stuck in space with with Nebula, and what in the world is happening?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep.
And you get to Endgame. Obviously, there's a second part, so you Endgame, right. And then...
And you have to realize that they pay these actors an incredible amount of money. Yes. And they all have sequels, so they're coming back. Like, they're not going to be dead.
There's a lot of money in this franchise. So anyways, they go, it's 5 years in the future.
Yep.
And they go to try to figure out how to create a time machine because of Ant-Man, right?
Yep.
Because Ant-Man comes out of the thing. You really have to watch the movies.
Yeah. Long story short, they reverse it.
Yep, figure out, they go back to time to the old movies, which is pretty cool to see.
Right.
To get these stones so that they can, the Hulk puts it on, snaps his fingers to try to get everyone back.
Yeah.
Right? I don't even know. Does that, well, it has to work. That his works. Wife calls
yeah,
him,
that
right?
works.
And then after that, Thanos figures out through everything that they're trying to do this, so he comes down. And,
it's so ridiculous.
Then you're having to fight. They're having to fight Thanos again, but now you have the main three trying to fight him first, right? Captain America, you have Thor, you have Iron Man.
Yeah.
These are the main three, the first three that are coming. They're going to beat Thanos. And then you have this incredible, amazing scene where not only do you have Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man, but you all of a sudden hear on your left... Right, and here comes everyone.
Everyone.
And it may be, would you say it's probably the best scene in the MCU? I mean, it's up there.
It's got to be one of them.
One of the greatest, right?
It's great.
They all show up. The Avengers music you heard in the beginning, it's playing.
Yeah.
And then Captain America says, Avengers assemble. And they all just go attack all of Thanos' army.
Yep.
Right? They have to get the hand, the glove.
Yep, the gauntlet.
To where are they trying to get it to? They're trying to get to the van, right? The brown van.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of it.
Right. Because now everyone's back, so they're trying to get rid of it. Thanos grabs it again. You got this amazing last scene. He's got his fingers up, and he goes to...
I am inevitable.
Yeah, he says, I am inevitable, and he snaps his fingers, but nothing happens. And then
Iron Man pulls his hand up, and he has all of them, and he says, I'm Iron Man, like
at
the very end of the first
movie.
Exactly,
which alludes back to the 2008 first movie where he ends the movie with saying, I am Iron Man.
And he saves the galaxy.
And he snaps fingers, I am Iron Man. But the negative part is that Iron Man does not make it.
He doesn't. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Favorite character.
So sad. Sad. If you have not heard that already, you've seen the movie.
Buried in the ground. Yep.
So sad. Well, we don't know. There's some conspiracy.
Will is the conspiracy theorist.
We've never seen his body, so he may not actually be dead. We don't know. So all of that said, so we just ran you through a very quick mark. Now you had the new Spider-Man movie. He goes to Europe. Iron Man's dead still.
Same thing.
So we caught you all the way up with Marvel, if you haven't seen the movies. So why when I talk about Marvel, do I get chill bumps? Like, there's no other movies that make me feel the way that I feel about Marvel, right? And that sounds weird, but I think there's millions and millions of people who are that same way. You talk about Marvel, you even mention the word Marvel, and everyone gets excited. Oh, what's the next stuff? There are people who, because they announce their new movies at Comic-Con,
and there's people
like me who sit there and watch, because they don't live stream anything, watch the live updates to see when the next...
Right.
Why do people like me exist? Why do we like this? Why do I really like this Marvel stuff? Why is this?
Well, I think you've got to realize that...
Other than it just being good entertainment.
Deeper issue. I think you could point to the congruent storyline where everything fits together. I think you could go with the creativity. I think you could go with that they hire all the actors spot on. I don't know what they're doing over there, but they're hiring the perfect actor for everything.
Yeah.
And they're always, there's been rarely a case where there's been turnover in an actor. It's just the way it is. You could point to people like superheroes in general. I don't know. But I think, and you can disagree, but I think what I feel from it is this, there's got to be more. You know, like, there's got to be more than my simple existence.
Yep.
There has to be something else that makes life worth living. You know, like, There's got to be that there's got to be a hero of the story. There's got to be someone that comes in that changes everything. And that person has to do it heroically and selflessly, and it has to be one of us. I don't know why, but it has to be one of us.
Right. So, well, and let me stop you there. So that's a really good point you just made. So the good thing that Marvel does is these, it's rare. So like you have Thor, you have the Guardians of the Galaxy, you have, yep. Well, not even Captain Marvel. There's a few of the characters who actually come from space or they come from some other planet.
Yeah.
But like the Iron Man or the Captain America or even Captain Marvel and Carol Danvers. These people come from, they're people just like you and me.
Yeah.
Who just had Iron Man, Tony Stark's just really smart. Or Captain America just happened to fly into ice and be frozen for.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's not, because that's, I think, other superhero movies, they're so far out of the world, if you'd say. Like, they're not just ordinary people like us, or can be, or were at one time.
Yeah.
That it's not relevant to us at all, other than it being a good movie. But I think Marvel does a really good job at that.
Well, if you think about it, though, like, we love Star-Lord and Chris Pratt, right? Like,
yeah.
He's fantastic. But if he had been the one to save the whole universe, it might have been a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with Chris Pratt. Like, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
He is.
And he's a great Star-Lord. But, you know, he hangs out with a bunch of aliens all the time. And he lived on Earth for such a small portion of his life. And he had nothing to do with it. But Tony Stark has been here forever.
Exactly.
And he's lost his parents. And he has all this money. And he's conflicted on what to do with it. And
he's now married, has a child now.
Yeah, it's like he's so human.
Exactly.
Right?
Right, right.
And we needed someone like that. And that's what we crave, I think, is for humanity or a human to step up to the plate to solve our problem.
Right.
And... because we've realized, and the Marvel Universe doesn't shy away from it, is that the world is broken.
Exactly.
And it has a bunch of evil in it, and a bunch of hard things that happen, you know. And it's good for our world to see that people in the Marvel Universe who come from different cultures, different places, come together, and they don't agree on everything. Like, that's the whole ordeal with Captain America and Iron Man. They literally don't agree on anything. But they come together in the end because it's bigger than them.
Right.
And they solve the issue. They solve the problem.
Right.
And I think it boils down to hope. The world is looking for hope. And the Marvel Universe does a really good job of putting that hope on display.
Right.
And obviously they do it through Iron Man suits and hammers and all sorts of things. But
right.
They do it and people eat it up.
Yeah.
And because 2.5 hours of hope. Like, I know that this is going to work out in the end. I know that this is going to happen. I know that it's going to be resolved. I know that the good guy's going to win. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, they're right. So Marvel does a good job with the superheroes. And again, it's this idea. We all know that we need, like you said, we all know that we live in this broken world, that sin has entered into the world, that we have these problems, and we need this superhero to come.
We need saving.
Yeah, exactly. I need the Iron Man to come in and save the world or whoever.
Because you can't save yourself.
Exactly. Right. I'm not smart enough, or I don't have the strength, or I don't have the power to myself, but I need somebody else.
Yeah.
To come in, and that's Marvel gives us that picture, right? That we get to, we have that other person that comes in and
you have to have someone that fights the battle for you.
Right.
And it's not easy. And really, I mean, I know we're a Christian podcast and everything, but it's really a symbol of Christianity in a lot of ways, you know?
Right. Well, so I'm glad you said that. Let me read this article from a guy named Timothy Paul Jones. And it's just this paragraph, and I think he says that same thing very well. He says, "The believer, however, is able to draw the remnants and residue of the Christian worldview beneath the surface of these stories." He's talking about the Marvel stories. "Humanity's best stories are, after all, always borrowed from God's greater story. Every artist is a cannibal and every poet is a thief," Bono saying at U2 something. "And he spoke more truth than he knew. Humanity's finest artistic moments always turn out to be reworkings of God's greater meta-narrative. They are signposts that have been borrowed and reshaped from our Creator's storyline to elicit within us a longing for a narrative that's greater than ourselves. This is no less true of the comic books than it is of other expressions of narrative of art." And J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote all the Lord of the Rings stuff, says, "We have come from God. So inevitably, the myths woven by us, though they contain error, reflect a splintered fragment of the true light, the eternal truth, that is with God. If we fail to see that these myths are meant to point us to something greater, they will always, in the words of C.S. Lewis, portray us. For they are not the thing itself, they are the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have never heard. The narratives we see in the best of comic books and superhero films are passing hints that ought to point the believer's attention to God's greater meta-narrative. Right, and I think Marvel does an amazing job at that for us, is that it helps show us that, hey, we need somebody else to come save us. We need the Iron Man, the Captain America, but we look to somebody who is bigger than those people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's this whole idea of helplessness. Like, I'm me.
Yeah.
In the grander scheme of the universe, and there's nothing that I can do about anything. You know? Like, I can't save myself. I don't have enough ability. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. And we need someone who is good enough and who can do it, that is like us.
Yeah.
But they're not us. You right. know? Like, even Tony Stark, who's a human, is so unlike us. You know, he has the courage and the selflessness and the money and the power of the suit and all that stuff, you know. And in the same way, Jesus is like us, but yet he is very much not. Like, he is very God. At the same time, like, he may have our skin and our face, but he is so far beyond who we even are.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the church needs to get back to that type of thinking. Because for so long we've thought, well, Jesus is like us. He's like us. And he is. But he's so much unlike us, too. He's right. So different.
Right, right. Okay, so I've got two more things that I want to talk about. This has to do with Marvel, but let's take a quick time out here. What's your favorite movie in the MCU universe? Gosh. If you had to pick one of the 23, 24, what is your favorite MCU movie?
Well, I want to give some honorable mentions. yeah. I really like the first Iron Man. I've watched that movie so many times. I probably watched that movie more than any really? Of them. I also really enjoyed the first Avengers movie. It's a piece of art.
It is.
It is great. But I think my favorite Marvel movie is Captain America Winter Soldier.
Okay.
It's just such a good movie, and it's almost like it's not a superhero movie, and it's a action movie with mystery and relationships mm-hmm. and all this stuff that's going on and humor.
Is that the one? No, it's Civil War. I'm wrong. Go ahead.
But it's done by the people who made Infinity War and Endgame, and I think that speaks volumes, but that's my favorite.
What about your favorite character?
Oh, it's Iron Man. No, Iron Man? No question.
So are you, you're no hurt. Comparison. You're, no. You're sad?
No.
So you're not. You're content that Iron Man is dead.
Well, you knew that they were going to die. Like, if you didn't, then your head's in the sand.
Eventually.
Like, I knew that Iron Man and Captain America, it would be the end of them, I think, in
right.
some way.
Well, okay, so that's a good point. So Iron Man's not the only one who's gone, right? Captain America also.
Yeah.
He grew. I love how they ended that storyline. I'm just a big fan of that. He grew old. Yeah. He got to live his life that Tony told him he needed to do. And he got to go do it. And then the movie ends with them dancing. What a beautiful scene that is. But also we lose Scarlett Johansson. We lose Black Widow.
Yeah, that's very true. She's another one that's... Those are the three oldest characters.
Yeah.
And it was time. I think after 20 movies, I think it's time. Now, they may come back. You know, is anyone ever really dead in a movie?
I don't know anymore. So, we thought Loki's been dead for quite a few times now.
Yep. And now he gets his own show, which is hilarious.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. So
No. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, you're not going to get out of this.
I really don't know. I want to say Ragnarok. I really enjoyed The Last Thor.
Okay. They're making another one.
They are making another
one.
I'm
so happy about it.
They are making another one. So, I'll probably say Ragnarok.
Okay, your favorite
character. Oh, goodness. I really enjoy Nick Fury. I really like Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson is awesome. He's a great actor.
So, off the top of my head, I would maybe say him. I'm trying to think of who else I would pick. Because I don't want to... I don't know that it's Thor. I don't know that it's Captain America and Iron Man. I would probably say Samuel Jackson.
Yeah,
I kind of like Rhodey, too.
I'm a big Rocket fan.
Yeah, Rocket. That's very true. The Raccoon does a good job.
Get me that arm.
He would. that's funny. Okay, so they announced last month these new movies coming out. I'm going to read these off to you. And then tell me your, and I know your opinion, which is why I bring this up, so I want to hear it. So Marvel announced these selected movies/TV shows, which I'll say when I get to the TV shows, if they are. this past month, and then Eric, give us your opinion. So the first one is Blade, so that'll be a movie.
Okay, yeah.
The new Black Widow movie, so this is going to show her past, right, what happened. Well, not really. It's going to show
between Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah. Right. The new Thor, Love and Thunder, which we will talk about that movie in depth in a second, so let's wait on that. Hawkeye, which that is a TV show.
Yep.
What If, which is also a TV show. That's going to be animated. The new Doctor Strange movie, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, which is supposed to be the first scary movie in the MCU.
Yeah.
Horror movie. Loki, which will be the TV show. WandaVision, which is also a TV show. That should be, I'm excited for that. That'll be cool to see them too.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi, the flashbacks, what did I say? The Legend of the Ten Rings. Okay, so that'll be a movie.
Which is about the Mandarin.
Yes. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That'll be a TV show.
That'll be hilarious. They hate each other. It's so good.
And because, by the way, the Falcon is the new Captain America.
Well, maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
We'll see.
He's got the shield, but...
He does have the shield.
Let's pump the brakes on that. We'll see.
And then the Eternals.
Yep.
Okay, so tell me, are you heard this? Are you excited? These are the next 2 years of Marvel. You excited? Are you not excited?
I'm not excited.
Okay.
I'm just going to be honest. But I've been watching them for 10 years. You've not. You've been watching them for 3 months.
Three or four months.
I don't know if it's just me, but I'm feeling a lot of superhero fatigue. The stories are rehashed. Which they aren't bad, though. I mean, they're very well done. But it's like, how many origin stories can I watch? How many stories that I have to remember all these characters' names are there going to be? How many more Marvel movies am I going to watch where every villain dies in the end? Like, there's no development there. I don't know. And I'm not even saying it's a Marvel problem. Marvel's going to continue to make movies and people are going to go watch them. But
yes,
just overall. Now, there's a couple in there that I really like that I'll watch. But I don't know that I'll go to the theater to watch many of those movies. Just personally.
Many or none of them? Do you think you'll...
Many. I'll watch a couple.
But you'll at least watch a couple.
Yeah. Just because I'm interested in a few of the new people.
So if you had to pick one, what would be your...
Love and Thunder for sure. That one is going to get watched.
Okay. Well, so that's a good... I'm glad you just said that. So
that's going to get watched.
There's two issues now, right? Let's talk about specifics in the Marvel universe.
How long is this podcast?
In the Marvel... it's okay. in the Marvel universe, there's two specific issues that we need to address.
Sure.
So the first one is, and they also announced this at Comic-Con, but we have this idea of Valkyrie, right? So Valkyrie is a part of the Thor storyline, and she is now the queen of Asgard, right? At the end of Endgame, he gives her
the
keys.
City that's on the side of a hill,
Yes, yes, yes. So, but now, so up to this point, we do not have an LGBTQ plus IR, whatever.
Well, we didn't.
We didn't into the MCU. But when Kevin Feige or whatever, the guy who writes all these stories, was asked about if Valkyrie, because Valkyrie said, or the girl who plays Valkyrie said at the Comic-Con, you need to watch this movie because the queen must find her queen. Okay? Something to that effect. And then when Kevin was asked about it, he said the answer is yes, of Valkyrie having an LGBTQ storyline.
Interesting.
So,
I didn't know that.
What does that say about... What do we do with that? Am I supposed to just kind of not watch the new Thor and not support it? I mean, what do I think about that? Which this could be on a bigger scale with LGBTQ stuff and culture and period. But
and we've talked about that so much.
We have off and on, but with this in particular, do I not go watch the new Thor? Do I?
Okay. First of all, any show that you watch, any movie that you watch. Unless it's about 100 years ago or 50 years ago, unless it's a World War II movie, unless it's in the future or whatever, everything's going to have it now. And I think that's something that listeners need to hear, is that it's everywhere. If you're going to watch TV shows, it's in there. All of them. There's not one. I'm trying to think of all the TV shows. There's one that I'm watching right now that was started in the mid 2000s. There's two actually. Gosh, I watch too much TV. That don't have it. All the modern TV shows I watch that are about modern day or the future or whatever have it. So you've got to make a decision. You've got to say, you know what, I don't like it, I disagree with it, so I'm not going to watch anything that has to do with it. And if that's your perspective, great.
You have the right to be that way, yeah.
But good luck. Pick up a good book. Like, that's just the way it is. You know, I'm not going to go back to the movies anymore, whatever. Like, that's your choice, you know, and I respect that, that principle. Or you can have the other perspective is that, you know, just because I watch something doesn't mean that I'm condoning everything that happens in the movie. For instance, any movie you watch that's any good, there might be someone who is murdered in the movie, or there's something that's been stolen from someone. Like, just because I watch a movie doesn't mean that I endorse murder or theft. But at the same time, and we watch movies all the time where there's a married couple, and then one of the people in the married couple is having an affair, blah, 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 blah. And that's no worse than seeing two people in the LGBTQ community get together in a movie, you know. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't hold it against anybody that said, I'm done.
No, well, this brings flashbacks to the Beauty and the Beast movie, right? So there was a LGBTQ quote.
Yeah, and if you didn't even know that, you would have never known.
It was a really good movie, but there were people who wouldn't go to the movie theaters. They wouldn't go. I'm not supporting.
It's like my favorite Disney movie.
I'm not supporting Disney. I'm not supporting. That's a bold claim.
It is. It's my favorite Disney movie
podcast. But so I mean, I agree with you. I don't know that I'm gonna watch this movie.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not gonna not. I'm hoping and praying.
I'm more excited that Natalie Portman's going to be Thor.
Right. In the movie. She's going to be the female Thor.
Yeah.
It's not about Valkyrie and LGBTQ.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah. And so I agree.
And let me just say something real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm going to get on soapbox real quick. We're more concerned now with LGBTQ being a part of everything than we are of having women be equal in society. Like, we've forgotten about women in our society again. Are you kidding me right now? Like, when was the last time you even heard the word feminism? Like, never. Like, it's been 5 years since I've heard someone make a good argument that women should have equal pay and have equal rights. And now the LGBT community, and I'm not necessarily blaming them for it, but they've literally stampeded over the idea that women are equal because they've destroyed what gender means. Because if gender has no meaning, if male and female have no meaning, then equal rights is over, basically. Because it doesn't matter what gender you are. If, you know, everyone should get everything. It's whatever. We've totally forgotten about women again in history. And I just want people to know that. And that really irks me, as you can tell by my tone. It really makes me mad. Because women were getting somewhere. You know, they were breaking down the barriers, breaking down the walls. You know, a woman can be president. Now, granted, I don't support every woman who runs for president, but that's another podcast altogether. But women can do everything, as they should. And again, they're getting run over and stampeded by this LGBTQ movement.
Explain that. What do you mean?
We're talking more about Valkyrie, a woman character finding another woman character to fall in love with in a movie, than we are Natalie Portman being Thor. Are you kidding me? Like, if that is not the epitome of women taking the back seat in history again, I don't know what is. It's pretty ridiculous. That's pretty ridiculous.
Okay, so I do agree, though. I mean, Natalie Portman is...
Because Thor's going to be Thor, and Natalie Portman's going to be Thor, and that's going to be awesome and hilarious. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Valkyrie and her woman interest. Really? Is that as important as a woman picking up Thor's hammer? No. No. The answer's no. I'll answer the question for everyone. No. It's ridiculous, I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it.
Okay, well,
women have taken a back seat throughout all of history.
Yeah.
And as a man, I'm tired of it.
Are you?
Okay, yeah. Well, good. I'm male, by the way.
Yeah. We can tell. Okay, so that's how Eric feels about the new Thor movie.
Yeah, if you're still listening after the third hour of this podcast has went by, then yeah.
Okay, so another thing, I'm glad you mentioned that. So feminism has actually been a thing in the new Captain Marvel movie. I guess you didn't watch that.
I did watch it.
But apparently that's a big deal. Brie Larson, who plays Carol Danvers, is a feminist all day. She'll tell you right out. She's talked about it in her press releases, all this stuff. So she is a feminist. So the movie deals a lot with feminism. So you really answered my question already. But Desiring God, which is was created by John Piper, but this article is not by John Piper, which you won't be amazed when I read this. But it says, yes, Marvel may be on the verge of ruining a decade-long movie saga with an identity politics. So what? Will we fuss more about this than the government sending our daughters stripped of photon blast and the ability to fly to fight our wars? We used to be attuned enough to know how shameful it is for men to hide behind their women, hoping she will take down Goliath. Have we forgotten how precious our women are? Have we forgotten that it is our glory to die in their place? So it's this idea in Captain Marvel that the woman is the main character. She is the main.
Sure.
She can do all she wants to do. She is.
Sure.
Which she is. Captain Marvel is the most powerful person in the MCU.
She really is.
She can absolutely destroy everything. Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think that is a good thing? Is it a good thing that women are? You just gave us pretty much your argument, but
I mean, okay, I'm not a feminist. Okay.
Oh, really?
Let me start with that.
I would have never guessed.
But I also don't believe women need to be locked in the kitchen either. Okay. There's got to be a middle ground where we respect women enough to let them decide what they want to do. Okay. So there's that. But I also agree with the article, though.
Interesting.
Women are precious. If women no longer exist, guess who no longer exists? Anyone. So let's just think about that for a minute. But. Okay. Women have a special place in society, but I think you can't take it both ways, like in an extreme. Like, if you're an extreme feminist, then, you know, all of our soldiers are going to be women, and...
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know that it's a, I don't know that it's a bad thing, but I just don't, I think it's this whole idea, like Desiring God says, that we are supposed to die for them. Like, that is one of our roles, is being the provider. That is a biblical idea, that men are the provider in the family.
Yeah.
It just is. I'm not saying women can't work. If you don't think that I think women should work, you've got another thing coming, because I just went on a tirade about how they should be able to do what they want to do. But at the same time, are women really the people that we want to put on the front line to die? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't know that anyone's ever done that in the history of the world up until this point. But again, so you can't take feminism too far, but you also can't take this idea that we're so conservative with our women that if they leave the kitchen, we're going to have a heart attack. Like, there's got to be a middle ground here. There's got to be somewhere in the middle. And I know you're shocked when I say that, because I'm that on everything. But there's got to be a middle ground here. Like, we can't be so protective of our women that they're only birthing factories. But we can't be so liberal in our idea of what we think of women, because we don't want our women to die, right? So we've got to have this middle ground where women are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but also not limited in their dreams and aspirations.
Yeah, I would agree, and I would just add that I don't, it doesn't.
Captain Marvel didn't bother me at all, by the way.
No, it didn't bother me either, but
they weren't explicitly doing it. It didn't feel like that to me. Like, it was definitely an undertone, but like, it did not distract me from the movie.
No, I just don't know. It's just not, I just don't take the place that it's my job to say what a woman can and can't do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one, so... I think before whoever we are writing articles about what women can and can't do, or where that may be, I just don't know that we should be.
I don't know.
From two men, I just don't know that we, that or not just us, but everyone, every guy, I don't know the right we have to say.
Well, it's like the whole idea that, okay,
you can't go be,
well, men
military
are supposed to go work 9 to 5 and women are supposed to wash the dishes.
Yeah.
It's like, that is so dumb. Like, that is just not true. It's just not true.
Right.
But, and also, if I may comment on this Captain Marvel thing one more time, they're kind of late to the game as far as feminism, okay? Like, feminism was like 10 years ago. Now we're into the LGBTQ stuff. And if you didn't get what I think about that, like 5 minutes ago, they can't coexist.
We got it.
I'm going to say it again. They cannot coexist. Feminism and LGBTQ+ cannot be together. They are incompatible. Incompatible.
Maybe you'll have to do a whole podcast on that.
We need to.
So you can flesh out that idea.
I'll get pretty hot over here.
Yeah, and I'm just not.
You'll see steam come out of my ears about it.
You're really passionate about it.
Well, I just view women as equal. So,
well, I do too, but I do as well, but. Oh,
no,
Will,
it sounds like you hate women. That's what it sounds like.
No, that's not at all what it sounds like. That is not true at all. A woman can come take my internship in a heartbeat if she would like to.
No, thank you.
Okay,
I'm
so
good with who I have.
All right, well, that's Marvel. We talked about the LGBTQ stuff they're trying to introduce. We talked about Captain Marvel, feminist, why we like heroes.
I want to watch Blade, too.
Well, you should watch Blade.
I'm interested. Very interested. He kills vampires.
Marshallah Ali or something is his name, the guy they picked to do it.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Natalie Portman, as you said, it goes back to Thor. All the main.
And she had talked about never coming back, too.
Yeah, and she's back.
And then she's like, oh, wait a minute.
Female Thor.
I have dollar signs for eyes. I'm going
to
do this.
Would you not come back to be female Thor? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, right. I mean, now they've got two hammers. What do you do with it?
Right. So if you are a feminist or if you are anything and take offense to anything we said, we apologize. We stand on our convictions, but we never try to.
Well, yeah. I don't want to be a jerk at the same time.
We never try to be judgmental in any way on the podcast.
But we love everyone equally.
We do.
We really do.
Like,
we
quote.
Are love
We
fest.
Just quote MLK there. Oh, that's weird.
Why did you say that?
All right.
We've been at this a little too long.
We got to end this thing.
Yeah, we do. Thank you so much for everyone who listens to the Pastor and Intern podcast. As always, we want to thank our church family. Without you, we could not do what we do. Also, thank you to all of our listeners. We just have an audience with you for whatever reason, and we love you. Please continue to share our message, and please like and subscribe.
Go check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to see and updates all about the podcast. Next week, we're talking about, as a Christian, should I listen to secular music?
Oh, no.
Great, great conversation. Again, thanks so much for all that you do listening. We are for the word, for the truth, and for the church. Thanks again for listening to the Pastor and Intern podcast.